The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with NBA drama. Thrilling wins across the league, including a costly one for Anthony Davis and the Lakers. Jay Williams tells us where they go from here. Then it's parade time for the Rams. They promise to run it back, but can they actually do it? And who could spoil the party? And will he stay or will he go? The clock is ticking on Aaron Rodgers. Why a decision on his future could be just days away. And we say good morning to you here on Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. And look who's here with me at the Seaport. We got Dan Graziano, Mike Tannenbaum, Sam Acho joining us from the comfort of his own home, looking so comfortable there in that nice jacket. Like all of this, ready to talk some football, these guys are. But first, we got to start with a night of thrillers in the NBA. And what a night it was. First of the Bay Area, final seconds between Nuggets Warriors with Golden State trailing by one. Steph hits the 18-footer, gets fouled, giving the Warriors a two-point lead, 5.9 seconds left. But the Nuggets would answer in a big way. Jokic to Monte Morris, who nails the buzzer beater from three. The Nuggets win it 117-106. And what a comeback at the Garden. The Knicks had a 28-point lead on the Nets in the first half, and they blew it. No KD, no Kyrie, no Ben Simmons, but Brooklyn stormed all the way back to win 111-106. Seth Curry, Cam Thomas leading the way for the Nets. The Knicks blew a 20-point lead for the third time this month, much to the display of Spike Lee. And you see him right there saying, what is going on here? Well, what's going on with this, the game of the night? Off to Utah, Lakers. Excuse me, L.A., Lakers hosting the Jazz because that guy's there. Aaron Donald, Super Bowl champion, here to watch LeBron James. Take it to the second quarter. Scary moment right here. Anthony Davis goes down, trying to catch a high pass. You see him screaming in pain there. And let's watch closely. Ah, he rolls the right ankle. He would need help from his teammates to get off the floor. He would not return. We'll talk more on that in a moment. Just under a minute left in the third. Lakers down 10. LeBron going to work. Sizing up the competition, makes the lay-in on the tough finish. High five and Aaron Donald say, get some energy from the Super Bowl champ. Fourth quarter, LeBron spinning, getting it over Rudy Gobert. Lakers down three. LeBron fired up. 3 minutes left, same score. Bring it up, take it from three, nails it. Lakers tie the game at 94. 2:15 left. Same score. Russ driving over to Bron. The slam. Putting it down. Lakers up two. 1:30 left. Game tied at 96. LeBron hesitates but says, yeah, I can nail the three. And then you know the kind of attention LeBron gets. So he passes it out here to Austin Reeves, who nails his own three. You know, Reeves is fired up about that. Lakers win it 106-101. LeBron with a big night, but here he was after the game on AD.
Obviously, I'm sickened to see AD go down in that fashion. You know, hope he's fine. Obviously, his health is most important for him individually, for our ball club. And, you know, I've seen it too many times, obviously, so I just wish him the best. And, I mean, it's still a game need to be played at the end of the day, and I still have to make plays and to try to help us win. I was able to do that.
So definitely a bittersweet night for the Lakers. Welcoming Jay Will to talk more about this. Mm-hmm. Jay Will, what's your reaction to what you saw last night from the Lakers?
So I feel horrible for AD first and foremost, right? You see why sometimes he has the nickname Mr. Glass, heard again. But I think there's a lot of questions around this organization who's ninth right now in the Western Conference. And hear me on this. Mm-hmm. So you have the Rams that just won in the same backyard as the Lakers, right? There's a picture of Les Snead, and on Les Snead's shirt, he says, blank those first round picks, right? LeBron James then quote tweets that and says, legend, my type of guy. Mm-hmm. So that then makes me tie this back into the Lakers organization. Right before the trade deadline, there were reports in which Rob Pelinka went out on a ledge and pretty much said, yes, I am in alignment with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on not making a move before the trade deadline. That report was then refuted by Dave McMiniman, one of our own, that says that is totally false. So when I start putting all these pieces together, it starts to make me think. I think Rob Pelinka's lost a lot of clout within the Lakers organization since the passing of Kobe Bryant. And I think LeBron James is starting to see, in order for us to move forward, when I quote tweet somebody and say legend to Les Snead, it says, blank those first round picks. He's sending a sign to Jeannie Buss and company that says, hey, Rob Pelinka's not getting this done right now. He's the reason why we're in that situation. So as much as people talk about Russell Westbrook,
right?
You talk about their head coach, Frank Vogel. You talk about Jeannie Buss. I think the first person they're going to start with, if it goes down, if they don't get to the playoffs this year, it's going to be Rob Pelinka.
Oh, that makes it really interesting.
Tie it all together now.
Yeah, that's interesting. So long term, tell me what you think this injury to AD that we just saw happen could mean for the future of LeBron in L.A. Like, does he say, hey, maybe this isn't the right place for me if we can't set this up in the way I need?
I ultimately do think LeBron James stays in L.A. Now, when Bronny Jr. gets to the NBA, I think it create a different conversation.
Mm.
But if you are saying, hey, I want to live my life by how do we win now? You know, the question is, do other organizations see the value in AD? I still think some organizations do. But I will tell you a person, I'm not saying they would do this right now, but I see a player like Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
There's always these questions, even though they're playing extremely well, the Boston Celtics on a winning streak. I understand all that. But a package of AD, a first-round pick, some other things there. Could Jason Tatum be a player that could take LeBron James to the next level? And these are the questions you have to start asking yourself because you wonder about, overall, the longevity and the durability of Anthony Davis.
One word answer. Lakers still make the playoffs?
I mean, we're 58 games into the season right now. They're 27-31, 24 games left to play, my man. I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe the play-in tournament if they're pushing for it, but they're on the edge.
A few more than one word, but I'll tell you what. Interesting take right there. Jay Will with the latest on the Lakers. Thanks, man.
You got it, brother.
From the struggling Lakers to the Super Bowl champs in L.A., the Rams, 3 days after beating the Bengals in Super Bowl 56, they and their fans enjoyed a championship parade yesterday. You know, some have speculated that Sean McVay and Aaron Donald might retire, to which they had this to say.
Sean McVay just tapped me on the shoulder. He wanted to know if you were interested in running it back.
Run it back! 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 Give it up for Aaron Donald! What a stud! Everything!
We built a super team. We can bring a super team back. Why not run it back? We could be world champions.
Yeah!
Gotta love it. Did anybody believe that they wouldn't run it, but wouldn't do that at this point, even though Aaron Donald was kind of saying maybe, but still, and he's still jacked, even without a shirt on all day long. Now, let's bring in our guests. Groz, what's one thing?
Yeah. Keep mine on.
Oh, you're going to keep yours on? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank goodness.
This week. Yeah.
Look, we're in the position of trying. They want to run it back, but what's one thing you know about next year's Super Bowl coming into all of this, about running it back?
I always feel like Debbie Downer, right? Like, what I know about next year's Super Bowl is the Rams won't win it. Like, it's been 18 years. A 27-year-old Tom Brady was the last guy to repeat as Super Bowl champion. It's too hard. But I think, you know, when you talk about running it back, can they bring this same group back? And they have some challenges in terms of building their roster, not the least of which is, look, the reason, I think, the reason for the Aaron Donald retirement talk is he'd probably like something done with his contract. So the Rams have a lot to work on just to get this Super Bowl championship team back and ready to defend his title next year.
Obviously, he needs a new contract so he can afford to buy a shirt. So
yeah,
we have to start there.
They got one on in time for the Laker game.
But in all seriousness, it really starts, in my opinion, with Matthew Stafford. When you look at the success that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers had, Tom Brady took less, and that set the tone for everybody else to take a little bit less. If they want OBJ back, Von Miller back, Matt Stafford should take a little bit less. That's the best way to keep everybody together.
Once a GM.
Coming from the GM.
Always a GM.
Exactly.
Right? The players have to take a little less so I can do my job.
Exactly.
But the money's, in all seriousness, it's not going to go to Stan Kroenke. It's not going to go to Les Snead. It's going to try to keep the group together. The other big challenge they have, guys, is Andrew Whitworth was 40 years old, and his backup, Joe Noteboom, is also a free agent. So they did a remarkable job. Everyone's always questioned, is this sustainable? To me, it would start with Matt Stafford. Give back a little so we could keep as many of your teammates as possible.
Yeah, but isn't the point? You won a Super Bowl. If you're a guy like OBJ, the point is to try to get paid.
Right.
And win,
sure.
But get paid.
And that's why, to Dan's point, it's so hard, Ryan, to be sustainable because some of these guys are going to graduate, and because they don't have many picks, it's going to be hard to replenish that talent.
The big story last year was Buccaneers brought everybody back,
mm-hmm.
and they still didn't get back to the Super Bowl.
So, Sacho, for you, what's the biggest threat to the Rams as they try to defend their crown?
It's the Buffalo Bills. And the reason why is that as the Rams are celebrating on their parade, having fun, shirts off, showing six packs and whatnot, the Buffalo Bills are saying, hey, man, we should have been there. We should have been in that game. Josh Allen was dominant in his playoff game, right? The entire playoffs. And so for me, the biggest threat is teams like the Buffalo Bills already grinding right now, already working out right now, already getting better in every facet of the game, saying we are going to be celebrating just like that next year.
Sato, if you were on the Rams, just won a Super Bowl, would you take less than your market value to run it back?
It depends on where I was in my season. If Super Bowls mattered to me at that point, then yes. If I just needed to get paid, then no. I think guys like Von Miller, who already has two Super Bowl rings, already has a Super Bowl MVP, I would take less money if I'm Von. Now you're becoming a legend. OBJ, you felt what it was like to win. I would do the same thing. And so if I already got paid, I would take less money. If I still needed my bread, I'm going to take my bread.
Look at that. Mike Tannenbaum's best friend. How about
here we go, Sacha. We're going to run it back here.
All right. By the way, meanwhile on planet Earth, you got to love this. Matthew Stafford had some fun at the Rams parade yesterday, and I'm really talking fun. Take a listen to this.
I'm going to bring a little Southern hospitality to this. I appreciate y'all so much. You guys have been unbelievable. Unbelievable all year. And you know what? We appreciate you. Let's go.
I bet those eyes are red behind those sunglasses. Check out Tom Brady. Mixing water, Matt. Trust me. He knows a thing or two about having some adult beverages at a Super Bowl parade. Okay, guys, what's your reaction to Stafford feeling it yesterday?
I mean, good for him. I like this. That's the day, right? Like, if you're going to run around without a shirt on, if you're going to slur your words at the podium, like, if you're going to wear a shirt, you know, like Les Snead with his own face on it saying, you know, F them picks. It's Super Bowl parade day.
Now, if Les Snead was a really good GM, that's the time to go to Matt Stafford and say, hey, right. that's
the time to negotiate.
Right now, there's a great window right there.
Hey, at least he's not throwing Super Bowl trophies like Tom was in that picture. Sacho, what would you be like if this was you?
I have no idea. I mean, I wish I knew, right? The furthest I got was the first round of the playoffs, lost on a double doink. That's the furthest I got. I did go to a national championship, and we lost in our national championship game. I was in disbelief. But I don't know, man. You train so hard all off season. Then you get to the season. You go through ups and downs throughout the season. Then you get to the playoffs, which is really the third season. And you find a way to make it to and win the Super Bowl. I have no idea what I'd be like. I probably would be crying, but I know I would be grateful.
Yeah, I have a prediction. Sacha would be taking the shirt off. Sacha would be like, yeah, I won the Super Bowl.
Hey,
that's happening.
And as long as you stay Donald, spray,
every
that's
day,
good.
Every day.
All right, well, coming up, we got this to talk about. What if Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? How quickly will he get his wish? And is he about to make things a lot harder for himself? And let's talk about them Cowboys. Are their biggest problems their roster or the head coach? And whose fault is that? We'll discuss that and a lot more when Get Up continues.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by the stylish Lexus RX. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. All right, the clock is ticking, and we'll explain why. Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up on the Packers offseason questions.
So the first one is obviously Aaron Rodgers and his $46.7 million cap hit. The question is whether Rodgers still wants to be there and when he will let the Packers know about his decision. It may be that he forces their hand and requires them to trade him. It may be that he retires. It may be that he decides to go back there. If so, they will have to adjust the contract. But they have, even if they adjust the contract, they still have to wait until March 16th before they can officially trade him. Devontae Adams is a free agent, their star wide receiver. Obviously, his situation is tied to Aaron Rodgers. He may not want to go back to Green Bay if Rodgers is not there, if they're starting over with Jordan Love. But if they franchise Devontae Adams, that's going to hit their salary cap for $20.145 million. Going to hit it right away. So that's going to further hamstring their offensive plans or their offseason plans if they're still waiting on a decision from Rodgers. And the kinds of things they're going to have to do to get under the cap. Right now they project to be about $50 million over the cap is probably restructure and or cut some guys like Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, two of their stars up front on defense. If they can't afford to keep those guys, if they have to release them for cap reasons, they're going to have to replace them. So these are the kinds of questions. When Aaron Rodgers comes out after the playoff loss and says, I don't want to be part of a rebuild, these are the kinds of questions he's going to have to get answered if the Packers want to convince him that coming back would not require him to do that.
And it's so important that you're bringing up these dates because we're talking about things that are days away. And let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers said he's not going to drag this thing out. He's going to try to let him know before these things come up. So that was at least the intention. So, Mike, I'm going to make you the Packers GM for the purposes of this segment, right? Aaron Rodgers says he wants out. What do you do, and do you keep him in the NFC?
Absolutely not. First of all, I'm going to beg, cajole, whatever I can to have him come back. By far, the best chance to win. Assuming that doesn't happen, Aaron, you could play in the AFC or you could retire. We are not trading you to the NFC under any circumstances. So you let us know what you want to do, but that option is off the table.
Interesting. Completely. So what if he, look, what if he comes to you, because the whole point of this contract, right, was so that he would have some leverage.
Right.
He says, look, I get you, but you know what? It's where I want to be at the Saints. I want to be in the, wherever it may be. And he says, I've given you all these years in Green Bay, Mike. What do you say to that?
Say, thank you very much, and you're under contract, and we're going to try to work together as a partnership, but it matters for us where you go. We're not going to compete against you. You're not going to prevent us from going to the Super Bowl. So that is off the table. We had a situation with Brett Favre a decade ago where after his season, it was clear he wanted to go to the NFC. So we were able to work that out. We were not going to let Brett Favre walk out our door at the Jets and go play in the AFC. What's not going to happen. So look, you could retire. It's not ideal for us. We'll work around the salary cap, but I promise you, you will not play in the NFC this year if you're not a Packer.
Wow, hard line. Sam, what do you think the path is for Rodgers to a championship in the AFC if, in fact, he's sent there?
I don't think there's a path for Aaron Rodgers for a championship in the AFC. I think he should stay in Green Bay. To Mike T's point, I don't think it is even a partnership. I think it's Aaron Rodgers making his own decision. And we saw this last year in June and July, even going up to August. It was Aaron Rodgers' decision, and he put the team and him pretty much saying, y'all either get on my train or I'm getting off. And so what I see is Aaron Rodgers needs to stay in Green Bay. I think he can win the division. You've got three first-year coaches, either brand-new coaches or coaches going in their first year, and then find a way to get it done, right? We're not rebuilding. We are going to win this division in the NFC.
Okay. But, Dan, I think when people think about Aaron Rodgers, they think, you know what? At this point, he can go wherever he wants to go. Mike's saying he would take a hard line if he was the GM. But how does his contract, the specifics of it, when they crafted this, inform what might happen here?
Remember, they adjusted the contract last summer to get him to show up at camp. And the key adjustment was it expires, it voids after the 2022 season. But because of the adjustment they made, his cap number, if he stays on the team, is over $46 million. So that's untenable for the Packers. If he decides he wants to come back, they can restructure that contract. They can extend him out, lower that cap hit. But if he decides he doesn't want to come back to the Packers and he refuses to do a restructure or an extension, which is his right, then they'll have to trade him because there's no way for them to fit that number under their cap and still have a representative team around it.
Wow. See, that's key. They have to trade him.
But Mike, you're going to send him to the AFC, but he comes to you and says, I'm not going to the AFC.
And look, it's not ideal, but we could work around that. Yeah. So we have enough levers to pull, which aren't great. You could cut Preston Smith. You could redo Za'Darius Smith's contract. He could put a lot of pressure on them, no question about it. They could survive it until June 2nd. They wouldn't have a great team for a year. But, again, by no means, if I'm the Packers, am I going to trade him to the Saints or anybody else in the NFC. And if you want to play football, you're going to have to be comfortable with that.
And just so people understand, right, that June 2nd date is the point at which they could release him or put him on the reserve retired list and spread the cap hit out over this year and next year as opposed to taking the whole thing this year.
And that's not unprecedented. Look for Tampa Bay to do something very similar with Tom Brady. When you get in these situations, you want to spread those cap charges over 2 years. That's why June 2nd is so consequential.
But they can't get the relief from that move until June. So they'd have to carry the whole number until June 2nd.
So they'd have to carry it until June 2nd.
Through free agency, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so Sacho, you think his best bet, if he doesn't want to be in Green Bay, where is his best bet for you?
I think his best bet is to be in Green Bay, right? I'm very much like, choose A or don't choose anything at all, right? Like, I'm not like, well, like second option or third. No, I think you should stay in Green Bay. I think that, I just think that sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Yes, we saw it with Matthew Stafford. He went to LA and won a Super Bowl. We also saw it with Tom Brady. Those are two great examples, but it doesn't always work that way. I think Denver is a different situation. You're going to be with a different defense, with a different team, a new coordinator on the defensive side of the ball. Going to be going up, as we talked about, against some of the best quarterbacks in the AFC, which I don't think Aaron Rodgers is scared about, but he also has to understand his defenses have to play too. His defenses have to stop Patrick Mahomes as well. His defenses have to stop the LA Chargers. That's what we're not talking about. And so I think that staying in Green Bay is the place to be.
Okay, lobbying hard to keep him in Green Bay. We'll see how this plays out. And we'll talk more about Aaron Rodgers coming up in the next hour. But first, it's risky business in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow took hit after hit in the playoffs. So how concerned is his head coach? You may be surprised by the answer. And what a costly night for the Lakers, huh? AD goes down. So what is next for them? What does LeBron and company do? We'll have more when we come back. Welcome back. Time for our morning wake-up call. A buzzer beater in San Francisco. Jason Kosmicki on the call for Altitude Radio in Denver.
Two-pointer forces overtime. Monte Morris looks in. Lobs it to Nikola Jokic at the elbow. One-on-one. He starts backing down Looney. Gets to the dotted line. Kick out three, Monte. Winner! Winner! Monte Morris at the horn!
Big, big shot by Morris. The Warriors led by 10 points in the fourth quarter last night. Their first loss all season when leading by double digits in the fourth. They entered Wednesday 32-0 this season when leading by 10-plus points in the fourth quarter. That's the third best such record in the NBA, trailing only the Suns and the Grizzlies. In the meantime, we go to the game of the night in L.A. Lakers hosting the Jazz. Look who's in the house. Super Bowl champ Aaron Donald watching LeBron James in action. Take you right to the second scary moment for Anthony Davis. Goes up to catch the high pass and comes down like that. Davis obviously in pain, rolling around on the floor. And when you watch the replay, you see why. Look at the ankle. The right ankle rolled. He would need help coming off the court from his teammates. He would not return. Fourth quarter, game tied at 94. Russ in the paint, dishing off to LeBron for the slam. And Lakers up two. And then LeBron doing work late with the three. Staying patient, nailing it right there. 22 seconds left, and the Lakers up one. LeBron getting all the attention, so gives it to Austin Reeves, who nails the three. Lakers winners, 106-101. LeBron with 33 points.
Obviously, I'm sickened to see AD go down in that fashion. You know, hope he's fine. Obviously, his health is the most important for him individually, for our ball club. And, you know, I've seen it too many times, obviously. So I just wish him the best. And it's still a game need to be played at the end of the day. And I still have to make plays and to try to help us win. I was able to do that.
You can see his voice, you can hear his voice, the bittersweet nature of all of this. Brian Windhorst now joining us from Cleveland. Wendy, in a season filled with bad breaks for the Lakers, they got another huge one last night. What more can you tell us about the Anthony Davis injury?
Yeah, he's going to have an MRI today. This is obviously a significant sprain. If it shows that he's got a second-degree ankle sprain, you're looking at a few weeks, and you know, obviously he gets a head start with them being off for a week here for All-Star. If it's worse than that, you know, it could be something that's a couple of months, and now you're talking about maybe threatening the season. The Lakers have the third most difficult remaining schedule. This is a very difficult hand for them to be dealt. Right now, they've got one of the 10 worst records in the league, and they really just didn't give themselves any wiggle room. And when you consider what LeBron said earlier this week, which is that his knee that he was just missed a few games with a couple of weeks ago is not right and is not going to be okay till the offseason, you wonder how much he's going to be able to give and if he's going to be able to play the kind of load they're going to need him to have any sort of chance to make the playoffs.
Man, and when you talk about a few weeks and possibly more, if the injury is more serious, that could destroy the Lakers' season. Now, as we speak, the Lakers are the 9th seed. They got a very difficult remaining schedule. So give me a sense of your outlook of the remainder of the regular season for this struggling team.
Yeah, so because they don't have their draft pick, in fact, it's going to be really interesting to see if their pick stays in the top 10, it goes to New Orleans, or it goes to New Orleans. If it's outside the top 10, it goes to Memphis. So those teams have different rooting interests for the Lakers. But they, because they don't have control of their draft pick, they're really incentivized to just try to keep on winning. But because you've got LeBron with that knee, I don't know how hard it's prudent to hit the gas pedal. And the front office and ownership has already sent a message that they're not really sure about investing in this team. They didn't make a deal at the deadline. So depending on how the next couple of weeks goes and what Anthony Davis's outlook is, it's going to be interesting to see how much they're willing to play LeBron James. That is something that unfortunately is going to become a question, I feel, in the next few weeks.
Wow, and to pass up on the season, I wonder how that would play with L.A. fans just coming off that big Super Bowl win for the Rams. Now, from Anthony Davis's injury to what's going on in New Orleans, we take a look on Wednesday. NOLA.com reported that Zion Williamson may need a second surgery on his right foot. Zion hasn't played a single game this season and has suited up only 85 times since being drafted in 2019. So, Wendy, I want to bring you back on this. The Zion news took a lot of us by surprise yesterday. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the Pelicans and Zion's family have gone to great lengths to keep his situation confidential. But let's just judge the actions. The actions are he was ramping up to return to play in December. Then they shut him down. And in the first week of January, they said there would be an update in 2 or 3 weeks. It's now been 6 weeks. So I think we can make the assumption that it has not been healing. A couple of weeks ago, the coaching staff and the players became aware not to expect Zion back for the foreseeable future. So when they entered the trade deadline and made the big move for CJ McCollum, they did that knowing that there was a good chance Zion wasn't going to be able to play in the short term and maybe the rest of this season. And obviously, this is something that is very concerning. He has now played 85 games and missed 117 in his career. For a guy that's supposed to be a franchise-changing player, it's just been a very disappointing start to his career.
And so then, Wendy, that makes us look at Zion's future, because you look at this, you mentioned the trade, and they obviously have high aspirations in New Orleans, but why are the Pelicans in such a challenging position when you look at Zion and others?
Yeah, Ryan, so this summer, Zion is eligible for a contract extension, and I'm sure he is interested in doing so. But how do you handle that for a guy who maybe may not have even played a game this season and has missed the majority of his first three seasons? There is some history to this. Joel Embiid, for example, was injury plagued early in his career, and the Sixers gave him a contract that had a bunch of triggers depending on games played. But it is not going to be just a guaranteed, let's give him a max contract, celebrate, and move on. That is something that, along with Zion's health, is something we're going to have to watch very closely as we head into the summer.
Wow, two things I never thought we'd be talking about at this point. The Lakers possibly not in the playoffs and Zion possibly not getting a guaranteed max extension. Wendy, thank you so much. Appreciate the update. NBA All-Star Weekend, where Wendy is, begins Friday in Cleveland. But the celebrity game on ESPN and the ESPN app again this year. Hall of Famers Bill Walton and Dominique Wilkins are the head coaches. I hear Greeny will not be playing based on what we saw yesterday. Team Walton, led by Cleveland native Machine Gun Kelly and Quavo. Back to the NFL. It was revealed that the Bengals on Tuesday, quarterback Joe Burrow suffered a sprained MCL during the team's Super Bowl loss to the Rams. Yesterday, Bengals head coach Zach Taylor was asked about Cincinnati's porous offensive line, and I think we're being kind there because they gave up 70 sacks on the season, 19 in the postseason. Well, listen to his answer.
I think that we'll just look to improve the team in any way that we can, you know, and not specific to one necessary group. You know, the offensive line helped us get to the Super Bowl, you know, and they gave us opportunities to go win the Super Bowl. And everything always falls on them statistically, but that's not always the case. You know, there's play calls that could be better to help put them in a better position. And so there's a lot that plays into all that. And again, they were an offensive line that helped us get to the Super Bowl and gave us opportunities to win. And I think they should be commended for that.
All right. Now look, I understand that he's got a toe line here, but it's the fact that he's talking about, hey, you know, this group like other groups, not really making the point of we've got to change this. What did you make of that sound?
I love Zach. I'm glad he got an extension. And that couldn't be further from the truth. They got there despite their offensive line, which was catastrophically terrible by any metrics. And they should take a page from Kansas City, which was they traded for Orlando Brown. They signed Joe Tooney. They drafted two more stars. They have to totally resurrect, reconstruct this offensive line. The most important thing for the Cincinnati Bengals next year is the health and well-being of Joe Burrow, because when he's healthy, guys, they compete for championships. If not, they have no hope. So that is job 1, 2, and 3 for the Bengals.
Now, Sacho, in the meeting before the show, which we always talk about what we're going to be addressing in the show, you mentioned that you like what Taylor said and you're informed by your past. Tell us about that.
Well, even before that, just to Mike T's point, Mike T, Kansas City made all those changes and still lost to the Cincinnati Bengals twice in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And so there's something to be said about making changes. I get that. But I know that you don't want to overcompensate. That's what I would say, right? 2018, Chicago Bears made the playoffs. I was on that team. We lost on a double doink. We had the number one defense, a top 10 offense, right? Well, the next year, the Bears addressed the kicking game. Don't lose on missed field goals. But you know what happened with the offense? They went from number 9 to number 29. The defense regressed as well. And so I respect Zach Taylor's comments about saying, yes, we're going to address it, of course, but this offensive line did get us there. And yes, we got sacked nine times against Tennessee, and we still won that game. And yes, we got sacked 7 times in this game, and we still were that close to winning. And so I would not overcompensate. Of course, address the weakness, but not at the expense of everything else.
Yeah, I appreciate that. He was sacked 70 times. He will be David Carr. He will be Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. And your future changes dramatically. So while we got to give him a lot of credit for getting to the Super Bowl, and look, Kansas City didn't get there. We got to give the Bengals credit. The health of Joe Burrow is hugely consequential. And getting sacked 70 times is just not sustainable.
Okay, but if you're talking about catastrophically bad line, Dan, is it easy to fix this team? Is it easy to just go out and say, okay, now we've got a line that's going to keep Burrow safe?
Well, I mean, there are opportunities. I mean, the free agent offensive line market has some opportunities, some high-end guys like Brandon Scherff from Washington, Teron Armstead from New Orleans, Ryan Jensen, the Buccaneers center. Those guys are maybe the Bengals can make a play for them. Look, I don't worry about Taylor's comments. I mean, he's talking about a holistic roster-building approach. They're going to need to address the defensive line. They're going to need to get Jesse Bates signed or franchise him. But the line, I mean, it's no longer a team that doesn't spend. Fourth most free agent dollars of any team given out over the last 2 years. And it's not a team that has systematically ignored the line. They drafted 3 linemen last year. They signed Riley Reiff. Unfortunately, he didn't get through the season healthy. I think they will address the problem of the offensive line and make acquisitions to do it. I think what Taylor is doing there is he's not throwing his guys under the bus that just played in a Super Bowl and almost won it. And he's not going to put it out there like, hey, we're desperate, right? Like, stick us up in contract negotiations or trade talks for offensive linemen. So I think that's just sort of press conference speak, and I do believe they'll address it.
So how would you have said it differently, since you're not necessarily vibing with what he said?
I'd just say, hey, look, we have work to do here. We're not world champs. We have a franchise quarterback, and we have to do everything we can to make that sustainable for the next 8 to 10 years. And to Dan's point, here's what they do have going for them, guys. Joe Burrow has created an aura of association. Yes. The Brandon Scherffs of the world, the Ryan Jensens, they're going to want to go play and protect for this guy. They have a rock star. If I'm the Bengals, I'd rather win 9 games with a healthy Joe Burrow that plays in 17 games than go win 11 or 12 where he misses a handful of games. Nothing is more important.
Isn't that unbelievable what a quarterback can do? I mean, right? Like, the Cincinnati Bengals are now a team where coaches that were going to get fired are getting extended, and free agents are going to want to come play there. In 2 years, that has changed from bottom of the barrel NFL franchise to that.
Say it like it's a bad. What about the city of Cincinnati?
I'm just saying,
guys, come and play
in
Cincinnati.
Not a good description of the Cincinnati Bengals 2 years ago. That's what I'm saying.
And it speaks to the greatness of Burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A quarterback can make a GM's job a lot easier, especially when you're Joe Burrow. Now, coming up, a turbulent month ends with a new contract for guess who? Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. But could things get rocky again in Ann Arbor? We're going to ask Harbaugh's nemesis, Paul Feinbaum, next. And much has been made about Jerry Jones' comments about his coaches. But is Mike McCarthy really the biggest problem the Cowboys owner has? Talk about that when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back to you on Get Up, and we're talking Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. He agreed to a new 5-year contract for the 2026 season. The new deal gives Harbaugh a 1-year extension with new terms from his last contract that he signed in January. So we got to get into this, and let's bring in Heather Dinich and Paul Feinbaum with more, because this is a huge story, you guys. Heather, I want to start with you. Just a few weeks ago, Harbaugh had one foot out the door. Now he's signed until 2026. How did this extension come about for Michigan?
Well, sources have told ESPN that he was offered a solid contract deal in January that he obviously didn't immediately accept. And remember, Michigan is coming off the best season under Harbaugh, an appearance in the college football playoff, winning the Big Ten, beating Ohio State. It doesn't get any better than that for the Wolverines, aside from winning the national title. So clearly there was a lucrative offer on the table, but it wasn't about the money. It was about pursuing a chance to win a Super Bowl. And when it became clear that he didn't get the offer from the Vikings, they immediately flipped the page back to Michigan football. He had the conversation with his athletic director, Ward Manuel, and here they are.
Okay, pursuing a chance to win a Super Bowl. I want to come back to that in a second. But, Paul, first I want to come to you. I know there's no love lost between you and Harbaugh. What do you make about him getting the extension?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I think it's preposterous, Ryan, but it's also a necessity of college football. To stay ahead in recruiting, you have to keep extending coaches, and that's how programs get in so much fiscal trouble. But what sense does this make? Jim Harbaugh did not want to be there. We all know that. On National Signing Day 2 weeks ago, he got on a plane and went to Minnesota wanting that job for the reasons that we just heard. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He didn't get the job, so he crawls back to Michigan, and Ward Manuel, the AD, really has no option. He extends Harbaugh's contract by a year. This is not that dramatic. And I think the two sides are stuck with each other. This marriage is going nowhere. Michigan has a good team for next year, but the optics of this, to me, are really bad.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. If I'm a Michigan fan, I'm thinking, how do I know he won't jump to the pros when he has another Super Bowl opportunity? And Heather, I look at Michigan. So he wasn't there on National Signing Day. He's got new offensive and defensive coordinators. How are we to believe that Michigan is right, is on a path to success with this extension?
Well, two things. Let's be fair. Michigan's class was wrapped up before National Signing Day. The coaches had off. That was a done deal, and it was the number eight class in the country. We know what they say, which is Jim Harbaugh telling Ward Manuel, this will not be a recurring issue. It was a one-time deal. Whether or not he means that, only time will tell. But look, he hired Jesse Minter from Vanderbilt as his defensive coordinator. He replaced, essentially, Josh Gattis, his offensive coordinator, who went to Miami by internally. He promoted Matt Weiss, the quarterback's coach, and also Sharon Moore, the offensive line, to play calling duties. So they are moving forward and turning the page. We'll see how long it lasts.
Heather, I wish you could see the expression on Paul's face, just shaking his head. Paul, what do you think? And do you think we see Michigan back in the playoff this year?
The answer to the second part is no. But Ryan, you know, we're talking about trust here. We're 3 days removed from Valentine's Day? Can you imagine? I'm telling my wife on the night before Valentine's. I kind of have the itch to go out with the guys, and you know, maybe we'll meet a couple of people at the club. And she said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I trust you." I mean, that is absurd. That is absolutely absurd how Michigan can trust this guy for walking out on them. Whether recruiting was done or not, it doesn't matter. He did not want to be there. And I think it also is interesting to know that it took Michigan 2 weeks to re-sign him. If they were that much in love with him, why didn't they give him the contract offer the next day? There's something very wrong in Ann Arbor. And I think we'll start to see the results of that this year when Ohio State once again rules the Big Ten.
Okay, we will have to see how this all plays out. And they're stuck together. And for Jim Harbaugh, stuck together with a lot of money in hand. Heather, Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And so we go to the Cowboys. After an early playoff exit, the hot seat has been warming for Dallas head coach Mike McCarthy. You see, Mike McCarthy went on the Rich Eisen show, and he addressed his relationship with Jerry Jones and his job security.
You know, Jerry's the owner, he's the GM, and I mean, he's always taken a 360-degree view of everything. We talked about it. We talked about Dan's situation. We talked about Sean Payton's narrative also. We discussed all these things. I never once felt that I was not going to be the head coach moving forward. And frankly, I've been at this long enough. That's all I'm focused on. And are these narratives unusual? Absolutely. I've never dealt with anything like this. At the end of the day, you're in charge of it. It's about the people you coach. And most importantly, it's about our locker room.
All right. So, you know, Dan, I got to come to you first because you hear that. I almost feel for him. I really do because he's in a difficult situation. But I got to remember, it's called free will.
Yeah.
You signed up for this job.
Yeah, I think I've never dealt with anything like this. Should be a T-shirt that Cowboy employees all get. Right when they take the job, right? It's a different kind of place, the Dallas Cowboys, and I think that's what Mike McCarthy's saying. But if there's an open line of communication between him and Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones is telling him what he needs to hear, then it really doesn't matter what Jerry says publicly. And I think that's the point McCarthy's trying to make. Look, I think, you know, both coordinators coming back, we've sort of presented that as they're looming over McCarthy as potential replacements. The Sean Payton thing, obviously we've presented that as potential to be replaced down the road. I don't think any of that is in Jerry Jones's mind right now. I think he's trying to, if he's not out there praising McCarthy, I think he's trying to light a fire under him, like we saw him do a couple times, like when Jason Garrett was going into the final year of his deal. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But I think down the road you could be looking at a situation where if they flop next year, maybe Dan Quinn becomes the coach. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. But I don't think Mike McCarthy's going into this season thinking, oh, man, if I lose a game, I'm going to get fired.
Really? But if he loses a game, could he get fired?
Oh, he's on a short leash. I mean, Jerry Jones could tamp this all down, just say, Mike McCarthy's our guy for the foreseeable future, for years to come. But he won't do that. And something else is going on here, which is this. When you talk to people around the NFL, when they leave Green Bay, that's a very unique place. There's no owner. So he's going from no ownership for most of his career to extreme ownership. And you could just tell he's frustrated and he's never dealt with it. And I think what Jerry Jones is doing, he's actually destabilizing the situation because he's not empowering his head coach, which is you should support him until the day you let him go, and players will gravitate to the people who impact their paychecks.
So, Sam, as a former player, as Mike says, you gravitate to the people that impact you. How are you viewing this if you're on the Cowboys?
I have no issues. If I'm a former player, especially on the defense side of the ball, I'm excited. Why? Because Dan Quinn is back. Year two in the system, we're getting better. If I'm a former player, if I'm a current Cowboy on the offensive side of the ball, I'm excited because Kellen Moore is back. We have the number one offense. We're going to keep on getting better. My only issue is with the discipline and clock management. Those are my only two issues, and that, you could say, goes to the head coach. But as a player, I want to get better, and I want to get paid. If I'm getting paid, I get paid off of how well I play. The fact that both of my coordinators are still here keeps me and gets me excited. I get what it's like. You got a star on your helmet. You're on the Cowboys. There's all that comes with it. But I'm happy because the people who directly affect me are still intact.
And by the way, you see our graphic there. He talked to Jerry Jones about the unusual narratives, including the Sean Payton narrative. Real quick, Dan, is there any there to the Sean Payton thing?
I don't get the sense that there is, honestly. Like, I don't think, I mean, talking to people in that organization, it doesn't sound like they're out there waiting for an opportunity to hire Sean Payton. I think they want to go forward with McCarthy. I think they want McCarthy to be successful. I think they feel good about the coordinators. And if a replacement were to be necessary within the next year or two, I think one of those coordinators is more likely to be the guy than Sean Payton. Just the sense I get from talking to people around there.
Yeah, we got to talk more about the Jerry Jones dynamic, and we'll get into that in the next hour. But coming up, we're talking Packers. Should they do everything they can to keep Aaron Rodgers? We're going to tell you all the steps the team must take to make that happen.